God bless morning people. And I know I need to be careful about what follows that because I'm surrounded by morning people. But, some people have got it. And, you know, they wake up in the morning, they roll out of bed, and they are chipper as ever. And, you know, it's nothing worse for a person who's not a morning person to be around people who are morning people in the morning and who just can't understand why everyone's not as happy as they are. And that happens even in the seminary, maybe even especially in the seminary, because for a lot of guys are forced to get up early for the first time, you know, since high school. And so here they are. And there's a priest in the seminary who was telling us about back when he was in seminary and they were on retreat, they didn't have any clocks or alarms or anything. So one guy was assigned to go around to each room and wake everyone up. And the way that they would do this is the guy going around to each room would knock on the door and he would sing, "Venit Magne," morning has come. "Venit Magne," and the guy inside was supposed to respond, "Deo gracias," thanks be to God, right? So, anyways, this guy is going around, "Venit Magne," and one of the guys who responds, "Deo stinking gracias." he was so close. He's trying, right? But here the church gives us on this third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday. And the Sunday takes its name from, or this week of Advent takes its name from the entrance antiphon. Rejoice, Gaudete, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And on a day like this, the church doesn't ask us how we feel. Do you feel like rejoicing today? Do you feel like having the third Sunday of Advent? We don't get that luxury. It's not subjective, or it's not subjective for each of us. It's an objective feast of the entire church. And so whatever we come to this Mass carrying, whatever point we're at in our life, whether it's a heavy heart or a full one, the church asks us to rejoice in our own capacity, each in our own way to rejoice. Why? Because again, for the last several weeks, the church keeps pointing us back to our Lord, to redirect our focus back to our Lord. And now in a special way, there's more of an immediacy in our preparation for Christmas. It's more of a coming understanding that our Lord is coming in Christmas, that our God will come to us. It's an interesting gospel the church gives to us on this Sunday. And throughout the season of Advent, our focus, one of the main characters that we focus on is John the Baptist. And here again, we have this reading on with John the Baptist as one of the main players, although he doesn't actually appear, but he appears vicariously through his followers. It's kind of an odd gospel. And if you don't get the context, you'll miss why it's so significant. We get a clue in the first line of the gospel. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of Christ. So John the Baptist is in prison at this point. He's already been imprisoned by King Herod. When we know that imprisonment finally culminates with his decapitation, right? His own death. So this is toward the end of John the Baptist's life and ministry. Keep that in mind. But what is the question he sends his disciples to ask Jesus? He sends his disciples to ask Jesus this question. Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Why is that odd? Because John the Baptist had already, previously in the gospel, more than once pointed out Jesus as the Lamb of God. When he baptized him, "I am not worthy that, Lord, you should be baptizing me. I'm not worthy to untie the strap of his sandal." And going all the way back to the visitation, John the Baptist leaped for joy at the presence of Christ. Even in utero, he knew who Jesus was. And yet now in prison, he's asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Kind of an odd question for John to be coming from John the Baptist. And the fathers of the church, they picked up on this. And they kind of went back and forth about why would John the Baptist ask his disciples to ask Jesus this question. And there are basically two different answers that the earliest Christians, the fathers of the church, would throw back and forth. One was that John had doubted Jesus' identity. Was he mistaken? Was this actually the Messiah? Now, most of the fathers reject that conclusion because of John the Baptist's life and ministry before. Even in the womb, like I said, he knew he was the greatest of the prophets. He knew who Jesus was. But yet, he was in prison. There's a certain darkness, or there's a dungeon that he was locked in. What does despair bring to a person? Could he have been experiencing despair in that dungeon? It's possible. The other option is that he knew who Jesus was, but he wanted his followers to follow Jesus. Because even in the earliest days of the church, immediately after the death of Jesus, there was a group that still held that John the Baptist was the Messiah and not Jesus. And even though that group, I can't remember, they called them, there was a special name. And as a matter of fact, they've kind of come and gone throughout history. There was a period of time where they just disappeared altogether, and then it kind of revived. And even today, there's a group that hold that John the Baptist is the Messiah and not Jesus. So it would make sense, if he understood who Jesus was, that he's trying to redirect his own disciples to follow Jesus, which is what he ended up doing in other points of the gospel as well. Okay, so what our church is offering us this weekend, this Sunday, of Gaudete Sunday, is a moment of rejoicing, yes, but it's also a moment of recognizing that there's got to be something deeper in our identity of who Christ is. That we should ask the question, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And that's kind of a cheap question to ask if you've been a cradle Catholic your whole life. You know, if it's just something you've always done, it's kind of cheap. Are you really Jesus? Is he here? Is he coming? Does he matter? Yeah, sure. I mean, I go to Mass every Sunday. That's not the same thing as asking, is Jesus Lord of my life? It's not the same thing as asking, do I rejoice? Is something different today? Am I more joyful today because I know that the Lord has come and he will come again? Am I more joyful today than yesterday? Or does the liturgy, does the church, my Catholic faith not affect my life at all? And that's a fair question to ask. I was asking myself that looking back, like, over the last, 30 years, how many times has Gaudete Sunday actually made a difference for me? Well, when I was a little kid, yeah, I knew the pink candle meant that Christmas was closer and I didn't have to wait as long. So there was a certain amount of joy there. But other than that, did I actually rejoice with the church? Or did I allow my own little preferences for the day, my own little world, to close in around me? So that's the invitation then. It's to rejoice with the whole church, the universal church, regardless of where you might happen to be. And I'm not talking about a fake kind of plastic happiness. Talking about an interior turning of recognizing God is coming, where the source of our joy should be and does come from. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice.